you've been holding back on launching your dream business, it's time to stop making excuses. Shopify is where you finally go to get started. They offer everything you need to succeed from day one. They completely simplify the process so you can focus on what matters. Think about how you want your brand to look. Imagine the confidence of launching with a world-class checkout system already built into it, allowing your customers to buy effortlessly in just one click. Whenever you run into a roadblock or find yourself asking those tough startup questions, Shopify's AI assistant called Sidekick is right there to help you build and troubleshoot. You get to build your dream on the same reliable platform that powers household names like Mattel, saving you time to scale. All you need is the idea. Shopify handles the rest. Go to shopify.com/tenderfoot to start your free trial today. That's shopify.com/tenderfoot. shopify.com/tenderfoot.
Everyone loved being around her. You know, there's never like a dull moment with her. She was always laughing.
That was what our whole friendship was based on. Like, we would always make sure we were having fun.
When you're around your best friends, you feel like you have that security around you, and you just think everything will always be okay, you know?
Natalie's handwriting on her immigration card stated the duration of her stay would be for 4 nights. She has been gone for 97 days.
It's been almost 4 months since
their 6-month search for missing American teen Natalie Holloway.
Something went wrong. This was a wild night went sour. We have statements claiming that she had drugs.
Credible statements?
Credible statements.
Would it be okay if I put a poster in the window? Would that be okay out here?
My name is Gerald Dompich. I am the Deputy Chief of Police and leader of the investigative team working on the Holloway case.
I didn't know that she would fall at the hands of evil, let alone fall at the hands of the officials on the island of Aruba.
When they talk about Keystone Cops and this small island, they don't have equipment. We do have equipment.
Name one thing they've done since September the 1st. I can't think of anything.
We have come a long way. If we compare the information we had 3 months ago to what we have now, it's a different picture.
Yuron, how does it feel to be going home?
Yuron and my husband has gone to a lot of slander based on speculation. Based on rumors, on gossips, we always went for the truth.
Is Yuron Vandersloot still a prime suspect in Natalie Holloway's disappearance?
He surely is.
He is?
Yes.
And the Cabo brothers?
They are. It is possible that there was a second group involved, or more people than these three boys.
Natalie Holloway, new clues in paradise.
They say a picture speaks 1,000 words. This one speaks 2,000 words to me.
Authorities believe this is the last picture of Natalie Holloway. It was discovered by the FBI in the camera of one of her classmates and shown here publicly for the first time.
Just look at this picture. I think you can appreciate and understand that it could be anybody's daughter.
For Gerald Dompich, lead investigator in the search for Natalie, it's a constant reminder of his toughest case.
It's been a difficult year for you. It's been a difficult year for Aruba.
Yes, same time. We can exactly see which vessels
go away from the island and come towards the island.
How would you characterize the state of this investigation right now?
I would say critical last phase.
Critical last phase.
Yes.
The story of the search for Natalie Holloway has been marked largely by speculation and rumor, but little by way of facts. 48 Hours will take you for the first time inside the police investigation here on Aruba. Among the things we've learned, what authorities really believe happened to the Alabama teenager the night she disappeared, and new clues that could close this case once and for all.
We have been informed by a manager of a nightclub that he received a call and he wanted to talk about the fact that he knew more about the whereabouts of Natalie.
So this is the first valuable lead that you've gotten in a while.
Yes, concerning the specific burial location, yes.
Since Holloway disappeared, the police have received dozens of leads,
all leading nowhere. But Dompig is convinced that this may be the key witness they've been waiting for.
The information that this person gave was too specific to just be a story that was just made up by someone.
Now, based on this new information,
this is the route to the lighthouse, to the sand dunes.
Investigators will begin searching again for Natalie's body here on the northern tip of the island.
Somewhere on the sand dunes. The sand dunes that go all the way up to behind the lighthouse, where we basically have to search. It's worse than looking for a needle in a haystack.
Aruba, just a stone's throw from the coast of Venezuela, plays host to more than a million visitors every year, most from America. And in recent years, a younger and younger crowd has landed on its shores.
It was so much fun. We would wake up, brush your teeth, go straight to the beach. We would literally stay in the water all day long because it was so perfect.
The senior trip to Aruba was a well-deserved vacation for Natalie. Days earlier, this honor student graduated from Mountain Brook High School just outside of Birmingham, Alabama. Three of her best friends, Liz Kane, Molly Tucker, and Claire Fearman,
we all had a very hard time,
recalled their last days with Natalie.
We just hung out with our friends on this beautiful island, and it was a really fun trip.
And at night, what did you guys do?
The second night we were there, and the last night we went to Carlos and Charlie's.
The legal drinking age here is only 18, and even that's not strictly enforced, making Aruba a popular vacation spot for American teenagers. No one disputes that Natalie and her classmates were drinking during their senior trip, but authorities tell us they have evidence that Natalie's drinking was so out of control it may even have contributed to her death.
She was, I think, not differently from other students. She was having a great time, and she was using way too much alcohol and combinations which could basically be lethal.
She was 18 years old. She was on her senior trip. They were in this establishment of legal age.
Natalie's mother, Beth Holloway Twitty, has been working tirelessly since last May.
I'm not leaving Aruba without her.
Trying to unravel the mystery of her daughter's disappearance.
I'm certain they were drinking. We never even tried to say that they weren't. But I have to ask myself, you know, should that cost her life? No, it shouldn't.
Police interviews with hotel staff, local bartenders, and her friends reveal that Natalie had spent much of the day with a drink in her hand.
Do you know if Natalie could handle her alcohol?
Yes. Yes.
She could.
Right. She was never somebody to be out of control if she had been drinking at all.
When you hear stories like people started drinking in the mid-afternoon and drank through the night, does that sound accurate?
Yes.
So that's kind of excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm. When I think of excessive, okay, yeah, it is. That is excessive.
48 Hours has learned that the Aruban investigation has turned up another disturbing detail.
Did you hear stories of people taking drugs?
No. The only thing that I heard about drugs is there were like people at the hotel that weren't with us that would like offer stuff to people. I was never offered drugs and I never even saw them.
Have you been able to confirm whether Natalie Holloway purchased or consumed illegal narcotics during her stay here?
We have statements claiming that she had drugs.
What kind of drugs?
I cannot say. We do not have proof that she used drugs, but that they saw her with drugs in her possession.
But police do believe that Natalie's judgment was impaired that night. Her friends were surprised that she was last seen willingly getting into a car with three strangers, 17-year-old Yaron Vandersloot, 21-year-old Deepak Kalpo, and his brother, 18-year-old Satish Kalpo.
Would it be out of character for Natalie to voluntarily go into a car with three boys that she didn't have? That would be out of character.
It frustrates me so much because I feel like as much as like we say that, no one believes this because you hear all that stuff, but from the bottom of my heart, that is extremely out of character and not something that Natalie Holloway would ever do.
That she was climbing into a car with three gambling and drinking buddies who were joined together at the hip? No. No way would she have left her friends and placed herself knowingly what she was getting into. They just took her when she just... Mm-mm. There's no way.
Do you think she may have been vulnerable because she had been drinking
too much? Very much so.
They took her at that opportune time when she was least able to defend herself.
The beach was a blast. I had the best time of my life. And
Houston's FM News Channel, 97.5.
Very pleased to have with us in the studio Beth Holloway Twitty, the mother of Natalie
Since
Holloway.
Since Natalie Holloway disappeared.
I just want to thank you so much for keeping us in your thoughts and prayers. And
her mother, Beth, has used any opportunity to keep this story alive.
There's just so many unanswered questions in this entire investigation.
And pressure the government of Aruba to solve this case.
There are just no words to explain the frustration level that we have had to experience in dealing with officials from the island of Aruba.
Last fall, Twitty called for a boycott of Aruba, and the island's tourism industry has suffered. Travel bookings are off more than 4% from a year ago.
Do you still support a boycott?
The only leverage that we have in getting any traction in the investigation is when they feel the effects of a boycott.
This island is a very friendly island. Also,
according to Deputy Police Chief Gerald Dompik, the boycott is not the only thing that has cost Aruba dearly.
What percentage of your budget was spent in this investigation?
We spent about 5 million florins.
Which is what?
Which is about 40% of our operational budget. That's about $3 million.
Maybe they didn't budget enough.
As far as Beth Twitty is concerned, there has always been a simple solution to this case. Just ask the people last seen with Natalie, Yaron Vandersloot, and Satish and Deepak Kalpo.
They'd have just gotten the suspects within the first 48 hours like they were supposed to have done, then they wouldn't have spent anything.
It's hard for them to understand that when we investigate, we have to go systematically. Well, we have a judicial system, we have a court of law, and we have rules. So we had to follow the rules of the game.
Which they apparently did. Contrary to the storm of criticism from the American media, the Aruban police say they quickly put Vandersloot and the Kalpo brothers under surveillance.
When did the department begin conducting surveillance of these three boys?
The third day.
The third day?
Yes.
What does surveillance consist of here?
Observation.
Wiretaps?
Wiretaps.
Did you monitor their email?
Yes. The arrest of the prime suspect, bringing in the prime suspect, is basically the last thing we do.
And to further help the investigation of this case.
But the police say extreme pressure from the Holloway family forced them to stop their surveillance and make arrests.
There will be a cash reward in the amount of...
Did pressure from the family compromise this investigation?
Well, I think so. It at least distracted the investigators' efforts.
Just 10 days after Natalie disappeared, police took Huron, the Calpo brothers, and later even Huron's father, an apprentice judge, into custody.
We wanted justice and we wanted the truth. And I think that that was shocking to the officials in Aruba that we were so persistent in our quest for that.
Paulus Vandersloot was quickly released on judge's orders, but the young men remained in custody.
These three boys know what happened to your daughter.
Right, yes.
You're confident of that?
Oh, absolutely.
But less than a month after their arrests,
the suspects will be immediately released.
A court release Deepak and Satish Kalpa. As police feared, simply questioning the brothers did not turn up enough evidence to charge them with a crime. To this day, they deny any involvement with Natalie's disappearance. With the release of the Calpos, police began to play hardball with their prime suspect.
Are you guilty?
17-year-old Huron Vandersloot, thought to be the last person who saw Natalie. As Aruban law allows, they detained him for months without charging him with any crime.
Huron, can you give us a statement?
We can hold that person for the investigational purposes on the basis of suspicion. And there was, at that moment, enough suspicion.
Aruban lawyer Arlene Ellis Shipper, who frequently speaks for the island's government, was sure Huron would crack.
It's mind-boggling to us that a 17-year-old, if he would have done it, could not have been broken. It's incredible.
But as Dompik explained, Huron's age actually made things harder for the interrogators.
Was Huron afforded any kind of special legal protections because he was a minor at the time of his arrest?
Yes. That complicated matters seriously because he had more visiting rights with his father, and his father being a judge in training was a problem for us because he could give his son certain advice.
Huron's father discussed the family's ordeal with CBS.
I spoke always to Huron to tell the truth.
You believe that Paulus Vandersloot knows more than he has been telling about the circumstances surrounding Natalie Holloway's disappearance?
Yes, I do.
But in spite of those parental visits, 48 Hours has learned that the interrogations were intense and tough. Special agents from the FBI were brought in, along with investigators from Holland to conduct the interrogations.
Would you question him during the middle of the night?
We didn't go that far. But there were late evenings, yes.
So he was deprived of sleep, but it wasn't going on for days?
No.
Dompik says it almost worked.
There were several moments where Huron almost broke. Several moments.
How many times did Huron Vandersloot change his story?
The basic story he changed 3 times. But the little facts changed over 25 times. So it was never the same.
One critical element of the interrogation remains in dispute. Did Huron admit to having sex with Natalie?
I had access to several statements. In one of Huron's statements, he's describing Natalie as she's falling asleep and waking up, falling asleep and waking up repeatedly. And as she's doing this, he is explaining, he's very sexually explicit, graphically detailing what he is doing to Natalie, okay?
Twitty and her attorney would not share those documents with 48 Hours. In spite of her claim, Dompik says there's no proof of sexual assault.
Did Huron Vandersloot ever confess to being sexually intimate with Natalie Holloway?
No.
He did not?
Never. Never. Believe me, we were looking for anything to throw him, to keep him in jail. The only thing he admitted to was that he was fondling sexually, like kissing, touching her in the back of the seat. And there was no sexual in terms of penetration or whatever, really having sex with her.
With no confession and no body, police release Huron Vandersloot
This young man was able to withstand 90 days in prison, and they weren't able to get a confession from him. What does that say to you?
It can mean two things. Either he's innocent, he really doesn't know what happened, or he's a genius.
The young man has denied any wrongdoing, but he's done nothing to dispel Dompik's suspicions.
What do the FBI profilers tell you about Joran Vandersloot's psychological profile?
Well, they use the word sociopath and the fact that he was capable of lying about basically everything.
Pathological liar.
Yes.
There's a reason why he lies. He's covering something up so horrible that he can't tell the truth.
But if Joran can't or won't tell police what happened that night, they now think someone else will.
New people are coming in the picture. It is possible that there was help.
And even more shocking, Dompik believes there may have been no murder at all.
Raise the reward for the safe return of Natalie from $200,000 to $1 million.
With no major break in the Holloway case in the past 6 months, the Aruban authorities are redoubling their efforts to find Natalie's body.
What is this exercise you're about to demonstrate for me?
What we're going to do is we're going to throw a dummy overboard.
One of the most persistent theories clouding the case is the notion that Natalie's body was dumped out at sea. But Dr. Ruben Cruz, the head of the island search and rescue team, showed us that an unweighted body thrown overboard near the shore would wash up on the beach.
How many times have you performed this exercise?
Many times.
Many times. And in every case, the dummy has drifted to shore?
Drifted back to shore.
Every case?
Every case.
The only way that wouldn't happen is if a boat sailed more than 2 miles offshore, a trip that would have turned up on police radar and been captured on tape.
This is all being tracked and being taped on a hard disk.
Police have accounted for every boat in the water the night Natalie vanished.
So we pretty much have a fix on every vessel that comes in and goes out.
Authorities now believe Natalie's body is buried somewhere among these dunes, but not because it washed ashore here. The Aruban authorities' new theory is that someone possibly very close to the young suspects, took the time to carefully hide the body not once, but maybe twice, literally reburying her. And perhaps the most stunning revelation from the authorities, though they're convinced Natalie Holloway is dead, they tell 48 Hours that they believe she was not murdered.
This was a highly intoxicated body of a very small person.
Chief Dompik laid out his current theory of what happened after Natalie was last seen driving off with Joran and the Calpo brothers shortly after 1 a.m.
After she left Carlos and Charlie's, where do you think she went and what happened to her?
Well, again, we have a couple of scenarios. We think that they did not go to the beach.
They did not?
No. We think that they went somewhere else.
I feel certain. Yes, he took her to his apartment.
Beth Twitty believes that Natalie was brought back to Joran Vandersloot's home.
Yes.
Possible?
Possible.
Wherever she was, police now think that while Natalie was with Joran, she died suddenly from an overdose of intoxicants.
We feel strongly that she probably went into shock or something happened to her system with all this alcohol, maybe on top of that other drugs, which either she took or they gave her, and that she just collapsed.
The crime, Dompik suspects, occurred when the body was illegally disposed of. the boys may have acted alone.
We're not talking about killers here.
Or, as Dompik reveals for the first time, they could have had accomplices.
It is possible that there was a second group involved, or more people than these three boys.
Dompik speculates the body was hastily buried once, and that those extra accomplices may have been needed to move it to a more hidden location. These latest developments, the new witness, the chance of an accidental death by overdose, and the possibility of additional accomplices relocating the body, have changed Dompik's view of the case.
I'm convinced that there's no thing as a crime of this proportion which goes unseen. There's information out there, and we just have to get it.
But the challenges are daunting. Jeroen van der Sloot told us on the phone that he never saw Natalie with any drugs and called Dompik's theories not credible. To date, there has not been a shred of forensic evidence found in the van der Sloot house, the Calpo car, or anywhere else on the island.
It's very rarely that you have a case that somebody just disappears and there's hardly any evidence left behind.
Natalie's schoolmates have had to handle a harsh lesson about the dangers of the adult world they've entered.
You know, we went on senior trip, but then after that, it's basically like we were forced to not become adults, but definitely grow up a lot.
Natalie's parents have filed a civil suit against Jeroen van der Sloot and his father, but Beth Twitty fears she may never learn the truth about what happened to her daughter.
What gives you hope today, Beth?
I don't have any.
You don't have any?
Somebody wants to tell me.
A crime like this cannot go unsolved. We are that much closer to knowing what really happened to Natalie.
When I see Natalie Holloway on TV, I absolutely think of my son. I see his face, his smiling face.
When we hear about Natalie Holloway and what happened and what her parents are going through, it brings us back to the terrible time that we had, the horror that we went through.
A 9mm Glock, 12 or 14 inches from your head, sounds like an atomic bomb going off.
I said, calling from the United States. I need to speak to my brother. And he said, you can't.
She just fell down, screaming, no, 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 no.
By the amount of blood there was in the bed, it was obvious that he was dead.
Randy was the epitome of a California surfer boy. Blonde hair, free spirit.
Very soft-hearted. If he saw me upset over something, he'd put his hands on my shoulders and say, don't worry, little mother, I will always take care of you.
I think this was a homicide.
It's the same thing over and over. People send their children to paradise, but it's really hell. If something occurs, it's very, very difficult to try and get any justice.
It doesn't matter what you say. Nobody listens.
We are absolutely certain that Randall Latona committed suicide.
I didn't believe it for a minute. Not for a minute.
They don't like any murders in their country. That looks bad for their tourism. They have listed a number of murders as suicides.
My son did not take his own life. He was murdered, and I want somebody to acknowledge that in Honduras.
You know what you're suggesting, Mr. Latona? That the Honduran authorities are covering up your son's murder.
Yes, I am suggesting that. I promise I will not let this go unsolved.
Nightmare in Honduras.
This time of year, I want more energy, not more steps in my wellness routines. Grüns can make keeping on top of wellness habits easy because it's literally just one daily pack of gummies, no bottles to track, and no powders to mix. Grüns are a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. This isn't a standard multivitamin, a simple greens gummy, or a basic prebiotic. It's all of those things combined and then some at a fraction of the price of individual supplements. And bonus, it tastes great. Grunes provides a full daily pack of gummies because you simply can't fit the immense amount of whole food nutrients Grunes does into just one single gummy. Plus, it makes taking daily nutrition a fun, rewarding treat rather than a chore. And each pack includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount of dietary fiber compared to the leading greens powders. Grunes ingredients are also backed by over 35,000 research publications. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grunes.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
There are people you are told to trust, lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
He was a joy to us. He was the sunshine. I planted roses, yellow ones, because he was the color of sunshine to me. He was always up, always smiling.
To 34-year-old Randy Latona's way of thinking, life would be even brighter when he moved to paradise. He had been a stockbroker in Las Vegas, but left it all behind to move to a tropical resort island in Honduras called Roatan.
Why Roatan? Why did Randy come to Roatan?
For this.
Gail Geerling, an American who lived on the island, says Randy had it all figured out.
Did you think that he stood a chance of being a success here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Randy created a new business, the Bay Islands Rum Company. Randy's father, Vince.
He had just shipped in some $30,000 worth of material. He rented a little warehouse down there.
And he had a girlfriend, 29-year-old Leslie Spearing. They met back in the United States 4 years earlier.
When Les turned it on, she could be very attractive.
She spun a tale to him about her father leaving the family, abusing her before she left. Her mother disowned her. She was living with her grandmother in Pennsylvania. She really tugged at Randy's heartstrings.
Randy's brother and sister.
Something in her caught his eye, and I think he genuinely fell in love with her.
Well, the very first time I met her, she came across as a very shy, quiet demeanor, farm girl, as she put it, but I didn't believe it.
Wasn't very favorable first impression. She looked strung out, a little rude, crude.
Did he help her financially?
Oh, yes, very much so.
The Latonas say Leslie had a drug problem.
When she was clean, things were good. But when she was using, which became much more frequent, you just couldn't go near her. She was ugly. She was twisted.
Leslie and Randy had big fights.
There was a time when I remember Randy wore a little bit longer sleeves than he ever did. And I said, what happened? He said, oh, Les got in a fit last night and she tried to catch me with a knife.
I don't understand how a smart, successful, take charge kind of man would associate himself with a woman with a drug problem and anger issues.
It's difficult for us to understand also. It truly is.
But by 2002, Randy was fed up with Leslie. And by March, the Latonas say, he had enough.
He stuck to his guns and said, this is it. There is no more. I'm not giving you any more money. You're not going to stay here. You're done. We're done. You're out.
Leslie reportedly was furious. Just days before Randy's death, she allegedly told people in a bar she'd kill Randy if he didn't buy her a plane ticket to Los Angeles.
She said she would kill him.
Yeah.
John Hines was working the bar.
We didn't really take it as for real that she was going to do it. But sure enough, Saturday it was said and done.
The next morning, Randy Latona was found in his own bed, a single bullet to the temple, a gun in his hand.
Leslie Spearing told police that the night before Randy's death, she did use cocaine while partying in a nearby town and didn't return to the condominium until 5:30 in the morning. In her statement, Spearing says that Randy was awake when she got back. They had a short, uneventful conversation, and then the couple went to bed.
I'm surmising she gets into an argument with him, and he refuses adamantly to give her any money.
And the night before he was murdered, she told this one individual, she said, if he doesn't give me money when I get home, I'm going to kill him.
Clearly she had the motive, she clearly had the means, and she clearly had the opportunity.
After Randy's death, Leslie refused to speak with the Latona family.
Leslie walked away the day after Randall was murdered and never looked back.
Leslie did tell police she awoke to find Randy's body lying right next to her. Incredibly, Leslie claims she slept right through the gunshot.
There's no way in the world that a living human being would not be straight up hanging from the chandelier.
Wayne Hollingsworth is an investigator hired by the Latona family. He doesn't believe Leslie Spearing's story about sleeping through the gunshot and says she lied to the police about what time Randy died as well.
Leslie Spearing says that Randy Latona committed suicide about 2 hours before this photo was taken?
Yes.
And you're saying that's impossible because...
Absolutely impossible.
Why?
Well, because the blood on the forearm, this is blood that is hardened, if you will, and it's got to have been there for a period of 10 or 12 hours, maybe 14 hours, before that photograph was taken.
The Latonas also hired former Miami forensic pathologist Raul Vila.
I think this was a homicide. The blood on the covers, away from the body, the way the hand was placed under the pillow with the gun, the way the hand was placed in the gun.
The Latonas, armed with their own investigators' analysis, cannot accept the Honduran conclusion of suicide.
Always in suicide cases, the family casts doubt on the investigation. No matter how good the investigation may be, they always doubt it.
I don't care what they say. He did not take his own life.
There's no evidence from the Hondurans that show that this is a suicide. They just drew that conclusion because it's easy. They keep their caseload low. Then they can go along saying, we don't have any murders in this country. They're all suicides. And they do that for tourism.
You made a promise to your son.
Absolutely.
You stood over his coffin?
Yes.
And what did you say to him?
I promise I will not let this go unsolved.
You wake in the middle of the night alone in your apartment, and that feeling starts to set in that something is wrong. Realizing your home is no longer safe, you plan your escape, but he has other plans. The details are the kind that stay with you. Water running in an empty apartment, a locked door that shouldn't be locked, that uneasy feeling of being watched. That's the setup for Unhinged, the new immersive game experience on Netflix. Your phone becomes your controller, flashlight, and lifeline to your best friend. As the attacker in your building closes in, the phone in your hand will ring. The question is, will you answer? Play now, only on Netflix.
Let's be honest, traditional banks have a habit of hitting you with overdraft and monthly fees, and those costs can really add up when you're just trying to manage your own money. But Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer the most rewarding, fee-free banking built for you, not the 1%. Chime has thousands of fee-free ATMs because you shouldn't pay to access your own money. And Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards completely fee-free. You'll get 5% cash back on your Chime card in a category of choice like gas or groceries, and savings that grow faster than a 3.75 APY. My younger self could have seriously benefited from all that. Plus, Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. I'm talking real humans, 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
There's a happy face.
It's like yelling into a canyon and all you hear is your own voice echoing back. Nobody else is answering.
You have traveled more than 6 times mm-hmm. to Honduras.
At least.
You've invested at least $100,000.
Probably a lot more.
In investigating this case.
Yes.
You want answers.
Yes.
Randy's father, Vince.
These are the children.
And his mother, Jill. Have devoted their lives to proving their son was murdered.
Innocent little things, as you can see.
What do you think Randy would say about your efforts?
He'd say, you're doing the right thing. Go for it, Mother. Go for it, Dad. I know you're going to avenge my murder.
But that's not easy when the authorities say there was never even a crime.
It has been hell. We will never have our son back. It doesn't matter what we do.
Because absolutely impossible.
Why?
The Latona's own investigators, including former prosecutor Wayne Hollingsworth, say the forensics point to murder.
This is a homicide. There's no question about it. There are so many holes in this thing that it's just unbelievable.
Randy didn't leave a suicide note, and the way the gun was found in his hand seemed very strange.
Who ever takes a weapon like that and shoots with a thumb?
So you believe that the gun was placed in his hand?
Absolutely.
In his right hand?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But Honduran prosecutor Rafael Soto and Detective Gonzalo Sanchez don't agree.
If the intention were to make it look like a suicide, it would have made more sense to place the index finger on the trigger.
We hired our own gunshot expert, Vincent Tamayo, San Antonio's veteran medical examiner.
Does it strike you as odd that he would pull the trigger with his thumb?
No. This is a not uncommon method of holding the weapon in suicides. But most people, the general public, doesn't know that.
There are other questions. For example, gunshot residue. Usually, anyone who fires a handgun has some on his hands. Randy did not.
He's no gunshot residue in his hands. That's impossible if he shot himself.
The Hondurans say it probably rubbed off. And there's Leslie's hard-to-believe story about sleeping through the gunshot.
She was laying right next to him, but she did not hear the gun go off. How could that be?
If her judgment had not been impaired, I would have not believed her, ever. But drunk, on drugs, without much sleep, I do believe her.
Police also believed Leslie when she told them Randy had been drinking heavily. They think he was depressed.
Did he have a drinking problem?
He didn't have a drinking problem. He drank like anybody else drinks, like all young men do. A number of beers or whatever it is.
He didn't have a history of depression.
No, on the contrary, he was always up and always smiling.
But there were issues. Randy was arrested twice in the United States after Leslie accused him of being violent toward her. No charges were ever filed. In spite of the Latona's convictions, the Honduran police have stood firm. They say Randy killed himself. Vincent Tamayo, the gunshot expert hired by 48 Hours, cautiously agrees.
Do you believe that the Honduran authorities conducted a thorough examination?
I believe they conducted an adequate investigation, not a perfect investigation, probably comparable to what most police agencies in the United States would have done. The physical evidence, again, as I said, is consistent with suicide.
Dr. DiMaio is a reputed forensic pathologist. I can't dispute what he says. I think otherwise. Doesn't change my opinion whatsoever.
Randy's brother, David.
What kind of answers does your family need?
I think we'd just like to know the truth from the one person who could probably give it to us.
Leslie Sperring.
She was there. She admits that she was there.
The Latonas finally had their day in an American court, having filed a wrongful death suit in Las Vegas against Leslie Sperring.
She never showed up in court. How could she not show up? How could you be subpoenaed on a $2.5 million civil wrongful death lawsuit and not defend yourself? It's absurd.
Because Leslie Sperring never appeared, the judge awarded $2.5 million to the Latonas.
No amount of money is going to bring my son back. I just want her to know that she can't get away with it. That's all.
It's money they'll likely never collect. In 2003 and 2004, Leslie Sperring was convicted on a variety of prostitution and drug charges and served time in jail. Leslie Sperring did not respond to any of our requests for an interview.
Give me my hug, quick, a real tight hug.
The Latonas find strength close to home.
We support each other, our daughter and our other son, and our grandchildren.
And in the memories of their son.
And I tell them, when you see a jet streaming across the blue sky, the contrails behind it, I says, look up and say, Uncle Randy's surfing the sky.
In 2010, Joran Vandersloot was convicted of murdering a young woman in Peru and was sentenced to 28 years in prison. In 2012, Natalie Holloway was declared legally dead. Her body has never been found.